Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. In Luke's gospel, it is with these words of commitment that Jesus breathes his last. These words cause us to see life as a movement and to ask, where is my life headed? For Jesus, his death is his return to God the Father. That is the central thought, the return to the Father, that I would like us to dwell on in this final meditation. But I take you first to two events that Luke records that will give meaning and depth to these words. The first is the darkness over the whole land. It is a satanic darkness. Satan, the devil, the arch enemy of God, has been at work through darkened human motives and through the institutional machinery of the Jews and the Romans to destroy Jesus, the unique Son of God. That is why Jesus said to the arresting party at the Garden of Gethsemane, "This is your hour when the power of darkness reigns." This spiritual darkness is reflected in the physical darkness because we are told the brightness of the midday sun is shut out for the whole land for the 3 hours. This darkness is also an expression of God's judgment upon human wickedness, yours and mine. And so God had revealed through Amos, his prophet, on the day when God judges, Amos 8:9 says, "I will make the sun go down at noon and darken the earth in broad daylight." This darkness, God's judgment upon all that is evil in the human race, in your heart and mine, in our families, in our societies. This judgment, this darkness echoes what happened in Egypt before God's people were set free. God judged the false worship and the oppressiveness of Egypt by sending 10 plagues. And what was the plague before the plague that killed the firstborn of Egypt? What was that plague? It was the plague of darkness. Now comes the darkness again. But this time, it's not before the death of man's firstborn. It's before the death of God's firstborn, the one and only begotten. The judgment of God is fully on Jesus. The darkness will exhaust itself on Jesus, and the light of God is about to break through. The second event which prepares us to receive these words of Jesus is the rending of the temple curtain. This curtain was torn from top to bottom so that the Holy of Holies, that's where the presence of God is located, that's where God dwells representatively. And that area cordoned off is now exposed. The curtain is ripped apart. And that symbolizes God doing away with the symbolic system of the old way, the old covenant of approaching God. In the old covenant, the appointed way to approach God was through animal sacrifices. But now the curtain is torn. A new and living way is about to burst forth. No longer on the basis of animal sacrifices, but on the basis of the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. In the Old Covenant, the covenant promises of God were tied to the nation of Israel. But now a new way was being established, where Jew and Gentile could stand shoulder to shoulder as the people of God. In the Old Covenant, the picture of God's universal reign was of nations streaming to Jerusalem, to this temple. But now the way is prepared for the followers of Jesus to move out from Jerusalem into the nations, to the ends of the earth. This tearing of the curtain meant that Jesus has opened the way into the very presence of God. The Holy of Holies, you see, represented the utter holiness and therefore the separateness, the remoteness of God. But now the death of Jesus and the very presence of God is accessible to all of us, to people of every nation. And it was being opened at the very hour of his death. So these two events bring us now to these words. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And they convey to us the peacefulness of Jesus' final words. So much has happened during the 3 hours that Jesus hung on the cross. As he bore the sins of the world and faced the abandonment of the Father, he has cried, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Then also, as the divine Son of God, who completes the act of God to redeem and to cleanse and to liberate us from the darkest regions of our depravity and brokenness, as the divine Son of God, he has also given the victory shout, "It is finished." And now Luke, in his closing scene, emphasizes the peacefulness of Christ's death. He is returning to the Father. And so it would appear that before Jesus breathes his last, his soul returns to the inner garden of communion with God. A powerful reminder, admonishment to us, how well do we, in this restless, chaotic world, how well do we take care of the inner garden of our soul, our walk with God, because we will need it in the most testing of times. And so restored in his soul, Jesus now says with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Jesus is using words from Psalm 31 in which the suffering righteous one entrusts himself to God's care. He's quoting from Psalm 31, but he's added the word Father. That's where he is going. He's handing his whole life. So we're not thinking of spirit in opposition to body. Into your hands I commit my spirit. That word spirit means his whole life, everything about him. He's handing back to God. And because Jesus has always coupled his death with his resurrection, it won't be wrong for us to hear in Jesus' prayer his faith in the God who raises the dead. And so, my dear friends, Jesus, in returning to the Father, has opened the way for all of us. Yes, the Jewish authorities fixed him up and handed him over to Roman justice. Jesus was victimized, but he did not die as a victim. He had handed over his life to God at Gethsemane. And now, in this closing scene, he's handing over his whole life, even in death, to his Father. Because of his strong love for God the Father and his amazing love for you and me, he went to the cross for us, to save us from our sins, to bring us back to the Father, and to recreate us in the image of God. In the words of one writer, Jesus has saved us from the cold rejection of the living God. He has saved us from a wandering solitude forever and ever. So, how will you respond? The Roman centurion, as he watched how Jesus died, and heard these peaceful words from the lips of Jesus, the Roman centurion concluded, certainly this man was innocent. He was in the right. He was righteous. The very presence of God and the approval of God upon this man has been palpable. How about the crowd from Jerusalem that came to watch him die? This crowd, at a fatal moment in the trial of Jesus, they had sided with their leaders. But now their present experience of how Jesus died had convinced them that this is a sad day for Israel. And so they leave the scene, they're going home, but they are beating their breasts in mourning and regret. How about you? How will you respond even today? God does not want you to feel sorry for Jesus or to regret what happened to him or to regret what you did to him. Neither does God want you to stop at simply recognizing that God has been at work in Jesus' life. Rather, God wants you to trust Jesus' saving love and return home. Return home to him as Heavenly Father, to have your Heavenly Father watch over you and walk with you throughout life's journey, and even pass the gates of death. Life with the Father. That's the only way to live with poise, peace, and hope in this messy, fear-ridden world. It's also the only way to face the reality of death. And so, will you return to the Father? Father, into your hands, I commit my whole being. I commit my spirit. Let us pray. As we have this moment of silence, would you hear God's voice speaking to you through this service, through the seven words, through the meditations, through the songs? He is speaking because he is there with saving, freeing, healing love. The saving love of Jesus has opened the way for you and me to return to the Father. As you remain seated, would you hear God's invitation through this song? As the choir sings it, may you hear God calling you. And so you would come. That's our Savior. And he's done it all. And there is nothing we can bring. There is nothing we can promise that will make him love us more. He has loved us completely at the cross. So perhaps at this service, you yourself are returning to the Father. And I'd like to give you an opportunity just to stand where you are as you act out your prayer, as you act out your response. And so if this afternoon, as you've been in this service, experienced God speaking, you've been in his presence, you've heard his call, and your heart is moving to return to the Father through the love of Jesus, please would you stand where you are. Thank you, Father. There is no shame because we might be in the presence of a big company, but it's before God. Father, you see some who are standing. I thank you. I'll just pause a moment. You would know, beloved, you would know the movement in your own heart if today is the day that you return to the Father. For some of us, we've never known him before, but today we see him afresh through the cross of Jesus Christ. So you are coming to God, your Creator. Please would you stand. For some of us, we may identify as those who have given our lives to Jesus, but perhaps we've lost the way and lost the reality, and today we are returning. So if you are returning to the Father, please would you stand before we bring this service to a close. Mighty One, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So it's my privilege now to pray for those who are standing, and for the rest of us also to join in this prayer for them. Lord, thank you that the cross has opened a new and living way, that our sin is forgiven, our guilt removed, and the power of sin is broken. Thank you, Lord, the power of Jesus Christ on the cross. And thank you for these dear ones for whom today marks their decisive return to God. Thank you for them. I pray for them now. Lord, they might experience your forgiveness. They might experience your embrace that you call them by name, my son, my daughter. You're home at last, and that's all that matters. Thank you, Lord. I pray that they might find new strength, new freedom to walk with you. We praise you, Lord. And now, church, would you all stand? Let us stand and turn to page 20. Page 20, and the last prayer at the bottom of that page. Together we pray, O Heavenly Father, in whose hands are the hearts of all your children, grant us the faith that commits all to you, without question and without reserve, that trusting ourselves wholly to your love and wisdom, we may meet all that life may bring, and death itself at last, with serenity and courage. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now, beloved, as we stand at the foot of the cross, we remember that Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." After the benediction comes the closing song. And in that final closing song, at the end of the song, this communion area will be open to all who would appreciate prayer. And the speakers and I, it'll be our privilege, together with the prayer team of the cathedral, to pray for any as you bring your specific needs to God. And certainly for those who responded today, those who responded today and stood, as you said, "Lord, I'm returning to the Father," I'd especially invite you to come for prayer. And so receive now the blessing of the Lord. May the Lord Jesus Christ, who for the Father's glory and for our sake became obedient unto death, even death on a cross, keep you and strengthen you in your obedience to God now and forever. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen.